Grainmaker. Welcome everyone to the Grainmaker Wrestling Podcast, a Prairie Proud Wrestling Podcast covering everything from Winnipeg to worldwide. My name is Blair Pacheco. I hope you're doing well. Hope you're having a great day, evening, weekend. Whenever it is, you might be sitting down and listen to this. Now, I mean, we are well into April. I mean, by the time you listen to this, it's almost the middle of April, and it's ridiculous how fast time has flown. I mean, we just finished wrapping up WrestleMania. The Collective was there, tons of great indie shows, and the Grainmaker Wrestling Podcast is back with another fantastic episode. And let me tell you, I am very, very stoked for my guest this week. It took a little bit of time to figure out a date for us to finally record because, hey, life happens, and that is completely understandable. And I'm so stoked that they are here today. It's been incredible watching them. They're a big part of IWS and what they're doing out there. They've actually been crushing it out in the East Coast. And joining me today on the Grainmaker Wrestling Podcast is none other than Danny Leo. Danny, how's it going?
Good. You?
I'm doing pretty good. I mentioned during the intro, I mean, I've been able to become familiar with you through IWS. And, you know, seeing IWS on Fight Plus is incredible. And I really feel like seeing from the first show that they broadcast in there last summer to where we are now, it's been incredible watching you as a performer grow and almost seeing a change in attitude for when it comes to wrestling out there, a little bit more aggressive, a little bit more cutthroat, we'll say. What has that been like for yourself as a performer?
Oh my God, I'm having so much fun. I think when I started, I was like this shy little girl. I was trying to find myself, and I knew that I had that aggression in me, and it just took something like this to bring it out. I feel way more in my element now. I feel way more comfortable. I feel way more confident now. And sometimes you just got to do what you got to do.
It's funny how like making a change like that can be so beneficial to a wrestler. It's whether it's, you know, something that it just comes a little bit more easier or it's more relatable in the ring. And I mean, before it was Praise the Violence, I think your match with LeFisto, I'm getting ready to watch and I'm like, hell yeah, Danny's going to win, going to become number one contender. And don't tell LeFisto this, but I was a little disappointed when I saw she was victorious. The match was so much fun. And I think what I really like is this is independent wrestling. So to be able to tell a story with characters that can grasp the attention of somebody just tuning in for the first time, you guys are really doing something special when that's the case. So what's it like being a part of, first off, being a part of IWS and what they've been able to do? And second, when you step into the ring with someone like LeFisto, I mean, she's a legend in her own right. What is that like for yourself?
Well, I mean, first of all, you were talking about like my growth as a wrestler that you've seen over the past couple of months. That is thanks to IWS. I mean, that's where I train. That's like my home base. And even this change in attitude and stuff, it's nice when you have coaches and people around you that are able to see like, hey, this is something that you're good at and we should focus on this and we should grow. Like, this is your strength and we should make that your main thing. So it's sometimes like as someone who was just coming into training, I didn't know these are my strengths. Because they pointed it out, I feel like I was able to focus on that and grow the way that I did. And IWS shows are just so much fun. LeFisto, I mean, that was unreal. Like when I found out, I remember like we had like this little lunch together and we were all like scrolling through our thing, waiting for our order. We saw the match. Everyone was like, oh my God, did you see your match? Like finding out like that, that was just crazy. I mean, every single time I'm in the ring with her, I've had the pleasure of wrestling her three times now. And I feel like I learn something every single time. Like I grow every single time just by being in the ring with someone like that. She brings so much knowledge, so much wisdom, and she's very open to giving it out to the young women coming in, and that's so important. So that match was so much fun. Like it's always fun to wrestle, but that's one of the ones it's engraved like in my brain. Like that was a really good time, even though I lost. But I learned a lot. So I'm getting closer and closer every time I face her. I can feel it.
It's only a matter of time. And I love the fact that, you know, like I said, you know, like to be able, I think when you're watching, you know, something, when you watch WWE, when you watch AEW, it's so easy to, you know, get drawn into the storylines and the moments really feel something special. When it's independent wrestling, you don't always get that sometimes with, you know, the distance in between shows. You know, having a month in between can kind of take fans out a little bit. But you guys have really done a great job of keeping the attention to the matches, to the wrestlers. And I think that's really commendable.
Thank you. I honestly see this every time. Like, my favorite part of wrestling is the storytelling. When I think about like my favorite moments in pro wrestling, what I watch growing up and what stands out to me, it's always the story, the rivalries. So when I got into this, that's what I wanted. I wanted to tell the stories. And I think that the fact that you said that, like, that means a lot to me.
Well, you look even with your social media and you're very, you know, eager to post like, you know, promos, vignettes, all these things to help add the, you know, another layer to the story, something that a lot of wrestlers don't do, but you've done a great job with that. Was it easy? Like, I know it's not easy for a lot of people, but did you find it easy, you know, when you're starting to cut these promos and just getting more of that screen time?
Promos, I feel like I don't want to be like in a cocky way, like, yeah, I was always good at them. Like, for sure I worked. But I think that because that was always something that, like I said, like that was the reason I got into it. And that's what drew me to it. It's something that I was kind of even unknowingly doing around the house when I was a kid, was like cutting promos, because that was like one of my favorite parts. So I think because of that, because my focus was so on that, that really helped me, you know, when it comes to my promos. I'm also a writer, so I think that that also helps me with my promos. It is, for me, one of my favorite parts. I think just as a person, I'm very like expressive and dramatic, like in my group of friends and stuff. So I'm bringing that out in my promos. So that's definitely also one of my favorite parts. I just want someone to give me like a live microphone in the ring. That's my next goal.
So you haven't had that yet?
No, and I'm dying for it. I want it so bad.
You know, it's funny because a lot of people, that would be, you know, a little scary for them, but you're really right up there ready for the challenge.
I think for sure it's a challenge, and I know that I will be scared, and that's something that's just part of wrestling. Like, when you're cutting a promo, when you're doing a match, like, you know, you're going to be nervous. You care, you know? Mm-hmm. So I know that I'm going to be nervous, but I think it's, like you said, it's a challenge. And I want to take on that challenge. I want to see like what I can do with that opportunity.
You've, you know, talked about, you know, even when you were younger, you know, kind of, you know, the mentality of promos, you know, walking around cutting promos by yourself sort of thing. Do you remember what it was that first kind of your earliest wrestling memory?
I think like it's hard for me to pinpoint the exact memory, because it's something that was in my family like before I was born. So I grew up in the household with wrestling playing in the background, with the video games, my older cousins playing them, my dad and my uncle watching WWF, WCW on TV. My grandfather was like a mat wrestler in his day. So like it was wrestling was just all around me all the time. The thing that stands out to me, the moment that I felt like, oh my God, this is so cool, like I kind of want to do this, was definitely like seeing Lita for the first time. Because of course, when we were kids, the women would come on and, you know, my parents would rush to like change the channel, because back in those days, like that's not kid friendly. But Lita she was just different. Like she was, and it's not like she looked like me or represented me in that way, that she was still like a white woman, but she was different. And that I remember that had such a big impact on me, seeing like, oh shit, like she's like this cool chick. And she was like, you know, with the Hardy Boys, like taking people down. And I was like, damn, like that kind of looks like fun. So that's like my main like memory of the starting point of where the seed was planted of like, maybe I want to do this.
And it's almost, you'd mentioned like, you know, being able to see someone like lead on the screen. It's almost like empowerment for yourself, seeing that she can be out there and, you know, she's going toe to toe with the guys and being able to hold her own. And like, as a younger person growing up, seeing that, that's something that can really help shape the future for yourself positively, knowing that like, hey, if she can do that, that's something that I can do too, if it's, I really want to get into.
Yeah. Yes. That's majorly what it was for me, because I could not relate to the other girls that I was seeing, you know? So there was something about her that I could relate to, just in the sense that she was different, you know, she was just different. And just that little thing spoke to me. And like you said, like sometimes the littlest thing can impact you so much.
I mean, I know you were born in Ontario, grew up in Quebec, but Quebec has always had like a very rich wrestling history. So were you able to go check out shows when you were younger, or was that something you really didn't get into until later on?
So when it comes to checking out shows, when I started expressing my interest to actually wrestle, my parents were dead against it. So that's not something that as a kid I could just be like, hey dad, like I want to go see a wrestling show, and he'd be like, oh yeah, sure, I'll take you. He was definitely 100% against it. So I remember the first time I went to a wrestling show, it was a WWE show, and I was in college, and I just was like, I'm out with my girls, and you know, I went, it was totally behind their back. But so that kind of cheated me out of that experience a little bit. But culturally, you know, like it's different, and I had to go through those battles. And for me, it just makes my story more worth telling.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think especially when it comes to stuff like that, I mean, it's another chapter to what you're being able to tell in your wrestling journey, and through the positives and anything that can be difficult, it's helping shape yourself, and it's possibly helping shape others when they hear about this and follow in your footsteps.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's always the goal. I'm like, you know, it was really hard for me to get into this field with, you know, the limitations and stuff and the strictness of my parents, but if someone can see me and be like, you know what, like she's doing it and this is pretty cool, so maybe I can do it, or maybe a father sees it and thinks, yeah, you know, like maybe my daughter can do it, like it's fine, that would be like the ultimate gift to me at the end of this all. That I can die happy if that happens.
Well, that's a perfect segue into this, because I know that you have been a part of the women's wrestling syndicate shows, the all women events put on by Lufisto. When you're a part of something like that, and you know, through your own, the stuff you've had to deal with, and you're able to see, you know, the next generation, the young girls there watching. I mean, what does that mean for yourself, knowing that you're kind of helping shape this next generation? I saw a picture of, I think it was a dad with a young girl, and just the way she's standing there by the ring watching what you guys are doing and just awestruck. That has to be a great feeling.
Yeah. I mean, you saying that, like, it gave me chills. Like, it's weird because I don't like sit there and think like, I'm so far from my end goal. So I don't really sit there and think like I'm doing something right now that's affecting little girls. But it's true, there are girls in the crowd. And when you come out, they're so excited, you know, like they're so like, I remember I had a friend in the crowd, and she was saying at one of my shows, like her mom was taking her to the bathroom. And then I came out and she said, no, like I have to watch the girls. So she was like holding in her pee-pee so she can watch the girls. And it's like, damn, it does really mean something to them. And it's crazy to think about. But like I said, like that, if I'm doing anything for any little girl like that, that can feel empowered looking at me and be like, oh my God, like she's cool. I want to do it. If she can do it, I can do it. It's like, what more can I ask for at that point? Like that is just everything.
You mentioned training at IWS. Was that where you had first started your training journey for wrestling?
No, I started at a place called Torture Chamber.
Okay.
And I started a couple months before the lockdown happened. So, I mean, it was, I didn't get to get the most of my training just because of that. Like I started in, I believe it was September, and then in January, December, like there was like this uproar about COVID and we were like, what's that? So I didn't get to experience that to the fullest, but as far as my basics and as far as my introduction to wrestling, it was Torture Chamber. Mm-hmm. And then like after all of the lockdown stuff like lifted and stuff, that's when I was like looking around and I heard of IWS and I went to like one of their student shows to see, you know, what they were about. And I was like, I just remember walking out into the parking lot and thinking that was so fucking cool. Like I have to be here. So that was how I made my decision.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, everything I've heard about IWS from the way they've run shows, the training has always been top notch. So, I mean, mm-hmm. You had the experience with a Torture Chamber, the brief one right before COVID. Was it a very easy transition becoming a part of the IWS training system there?
I think that it was different. Like they're both very different. And I can't speak to what it is now because like I said, when I got there, it was COVID. Mm-hmm. So it was very like, oh, we're gonna have practice, but like we kind of have to wrestle the invisible man where we can't really, you know, touch each other. And
yeah.
And then of course when I went to IWS, things were different. So in that sense, like there, it was different. I was like, oh, like I'm actually getting to do this, but also it's like, it was a different time. So in that sense, it was new and I was very nervous for the things that I was like, my coach was telling me like, oh, you're going to do this today. And I'm like, no, I can't. Like, there's no way that I can do that. He was like, no, you're going to do it. I know you can do it. And he was right. That's one of the things that I was saying. Like sometimes you don't know what you can do, but your coaches can see it in you. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I'm really grateful for. Like my first practice match, I was messaging my coach like crazy. Like the whole day before I was like, I can't. Like I'm really nervous. I'm really scared. And he's like, don't worry. Like you're going to do it and it's going to be great. And I did like my first practice match and I was just like the happiest person in the world. I was like, I can't believe I did like a wrestling match. It was just, it was just fantastic. So I feel like IWS, they pushed my limits, but it was because they knew that I could do it.
Mm-hmm.
They believed in me.
How long after being a part of IWS before you had your first match?
So I joined in February of 2022 and then I did like a rumble in I believe March or April.
Okay.
And then my first singles match, which was a championship match, was in May.
Okay.
So it was quick, but like I said, I had like the foundation, you know, from Torture Chamber. Mm-hmm. And IWS is very like hands-on. They're gonna get shit done, they're gonna make you do things, and you know, so it was quick for me, but like I said, like my coach knows when I'm ready. He told me I'm ready and I took his word for it.
Well, I mean, I know one of the coaches at IWS or a big, like a person who has impacted a lot of lives there is Shane Hawk. Incredible mm-hmm. person, very knowledgeable about wrestling and someone who it seems like nobody will ever have a bad thing to say about Shane Hawk, when rightfully so. So, I mean, I know he's been a part of your training journey as well, but what's it been like learning from him and some of the advice he's been able to give you?
So when I'm mentioning my coach, it is Shane Hawk that I'm talking mm-hmm. about, the one that believed in me and everything. So I love training under Shane Hawk, Andrew, because I feel like we have a similar mindset in the sense that he is very into the storytelling as well. I feel like sometimes that can get lost. Like you said, you know, in the indies, it's hard to, you know, keep up with the stories over time, but he cares about the story. And that's something that resonates with me a lot because, like I said, that's what brought me into this profession. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, like, I really enjoy the way that he teaches things because he'll explain it from like the story point of view. Like, why is this happening? Why are you making this facial expression? Why is this happening here? And sometimes he'll even get into like the psychology of like the human brain, you know, works like this. So this is why you're doing it in beats of three. And it's just like, it's super interesting to me. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of knowledge there that there's like a science to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fun to learn.
I like the way that it's broken down like that because everybody learns differently and wrestling is no mm-hmm. different. So like you can go and say like, well, this is the move you should do. This is what you need to do. But like to sometimes break it down and be like, well, when it comes to the storyline, I mean, this is why, you know, or like I was able to sit through one of Speedball's seminars and hearing him talk about wrestling and just the way he's explaining just some of the almost like, I don't want to say scientific, but like the mental aspects of it, it's something different. And you're like, that makes complete sense. So,
yeah, I mean, there's so many little parts that go into wrestling. Like if you are just focusing on learning moves, you're not going to be a good wrestler. There's so many little things that you have to think about. It can be overwhelming, mm-hmm. but with time, you know, that's what they tell me. With time, it gets easier.
You're in a very unique situation because, I mean, you've been wrestling for a few years now, but you've mm-hmm. been, I mean, you've been crushing it out there. I mean, whether it's Quebec, the Maritimes, Danny Leo is everywhere. So you've been at it a couple of years, but you're also seeing like almost the next generation of wrestlers coming up through the training program. So you're still learning yourself, but then you also have people coming to you for advice. So what sort of advice are you kind of giving this next generation that might be looking to you for support?
I think the number one thing that people, when they're new, it's just like they're nervous and they're scared and they don't believe in themselves. And I can relate to that because I was there. Mm-hmm. So when someone's doubting themselves and I see them scared, like, oh no, I can't do this. Of course, I'm not going to like push them and be like, do it. Like, you know, but I think at this point, like all I can do is like, I can share my story. Like, hey, I was there. I was so nervous. I was so anxious. And, you know, cause it is true that people come up to me, the newer kids, and they're like, oh, you're on the shows. You know, like you seem like you're so confident out there. I'm like, I was scared and I'm still scared. Mm-hmm. So that's like a normal part of it. And you have to know that like, if Shane Hawk is telling you like, you can do this, he's saying it for a reason.
Yeah.
He can see that you can do it. That's like the best advice I can give is like, trust your coaches, trust the people around you. If you have a good team around you that believes in you and like knows your capabilities and stuff, trust in them. It's very easy as a pro wrestler to doubt yourself. I feel like we all do it. I feel like I hear WWE wrestlers in their interviews and stuff talking about how they doubt themselves and how they hate watching their matches and they're so hard on themselves. And that's such a normal part of this. And it's something that you really have to accept and you have to kind of train your mind to like take the small victories and pat yourself on the back because it's so hard to do so. You can see one little footstep that went to the right when it was supposed to go to the left in a match and just you had a great match, but that is keeping you up at night. So I try to just let them know like, hey, it's normal. The feelings that you're feeling, just try to train yourself to know that like, it's not all bad. You're not all bad. You don't suck, you know. Mm-hmm. Believe in yourself.
It's almost like you're because like I always have a list of, you know, topics I want to make sure I bring up just in case, you know, like I kind of forget about stuff. And one of the things I was going to bring up was being able to kind of like get over that hump when it comes to wrestling mentally, because it's so easy to get down on yourself if you have a match mm-hmm. where you feel like it may not have been your best, or, you know, hearing criticism from somebody who has no right giving it to it. It's very easy to get down on yourself. So, I mean, you really, it's almost like, you know what I'm about to ask.
No, I'm sorry. I'm like jumping the gun.
That's all good. It's something I think doesn't get brought up enough in wrestling, because it's, everyone deals with it, and the mental aspect of it, it's important.
It's very, pro wrestling is very hard on your mental health. I don't want to like scare people away from it, but that is the truth. It's very rewarding. It's very fun. It takes you out of your world, but the world that it's putting you in also comes with the weight of the world sometimes. Like it's hard, and it's something that I wasn't expecting at first. And it took me a little while, and it's still, you know, like I said, I hear people in WWE, AEW doing interviews like, damn, this is hard on your mental health. It is. Mm-hmm. That's just a part of it. Mm-hmm.
I want to ask about the No Ring show you were a part of. I think it was a few months back with IWS, and what that was like, because it's got to be a whole different game than when you're stepping inside of a ring.
Those are just so fun. It's essentially a bar fight is what you're doing. Like you're having a bar fight. That's so fun because it's a new challenge, of course. You know, like you can't run the ropes, you can't use that for momentum, you can't go up on the turnbuckle, you can't. It's a whole different environment, and you have to really use all you really have is like your fists. You're like, it's punches, kicks, like you need to fight. It's a fight. And that's something that's so different, and it's challenging in the sense that like you still want to tell that story, but you have less tools almost. Or I shouldn't say you have less tools, but the tools are different, and you have to really think outside the box and be creative. Mm-hmm. And the energy of having just people around you, it's just different. Like people are really in there with you. Like it's crazy. That's so much fun.
I've only been to one No Ring show, and like, it's like I've said before, it's not really like my jam, you know, like it's fun, but like I watch you on TV is not the same, but when you're there in person, like you are right into it. Like you're like,
yeah, yes, you're this, there.
Yeah.
I mean, that can be overwhelming for sure. You're like, someone's getting beat up right near you. You're like just inches away. So I can understand why.
So you've done those. You've also been like, we talked about, you know, almost being, you know, someone that newer wrestlers will come to. Like you've still worked some of those student shows, but it's more of a different aspect for you now, having a little bit more experience being a part of those, correct?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Things are different than when I first started. I'm not a vet by any means, but I think, like I said, I can only draw on my own experiences. And if someone asks me something that I'm like, hey, I don't know how to deal with this, I will direct them to someone who maybe I would go to with that question. That's something that I can do. Like, hey, this person might know more about this, but for sure, it's different in the sense that, you know, I'm less nervous than they probably are stepping into those shows.
Seeing like what's happening right now in like, you know, I'll say in Quebec, but like, you know, Montreal, IWS, it's incredible to watch from the outside, especially with the history of Quebec wrestling. And you look back, say, 20 years ago, and seeing, you know, what someone like the Kevin Steen and El Generico and Sexy Eddie were able to do, how they sort of like came from Quebec and just took over the East Coast. And it's a little different, but I still feel it's the same when I see what you're able to do, and Chris Dara and Katrina Creed, like all of you are just really kind of rising up. And it's almost like the next wave of these incredible East Coast wrestlers. And what's that been like for yourself being a part of that?
I mean, I would hope with all my heart that we're gonna make some kind of impact like the names that you just named. But for sure, like we're trying our best to make the women's division mean something. We want people to come to the show and be genuinely interested, be genuinely like I don't know who's going to win today. This is going to be like a match where it's going to be back and forth. Everyone is a contender and we're all at that level. There's a bar and we all want to be there so that people are interested. Like you said, you were like, oh, you really thought I was going to win this match or that match, yeah, whatever. That's really the point. We want everyone is stepping up, like you said. And that's, mm-hmm, that's cool to hear people say, like, they're not just here because we're wearing certain outfits or, you know, like look a certain way. Like people are genuinely like, oh my God, is she going to win? Is she going to win? Is she the contender? Is she like, everyone is a contender. And that is the point. That's what we wanted. That was the goal. And it's just going to be increasingly better and better is what we're, mm-hmm, trying to do.
Now I got a couple more for you, then I'll let you go enjoy your Monday afternoon. But memorable matches. I mean, we've talked about a few that you've been a part of, but are there any other matches or storylines, moments that really stand out to you that you've been able to experience so far?
I mean, the one that you mentioned, the Lufisto one, like that one meant a lot to me. I have to say, like my first Olympia, I was on the pre-show and like wrestling at Olympia in front of all those people. It was me versus Katrina Creed, and just that, it means a lot as well, because that was little baby Danny, you know, like taking the big stage, and it was unreal. Like so that one definitely sticks out to me. I have a lot of matches in my head, you know, like I love wrestling Sam Kelly. I love wrestling Kristara. I don't get to do it enough. I had a really big women's championship match against Melanie Havoc at Olympia. So it's hard to choose just one because everyone has like a little story. I really liked the Fatal 4-Way that it was me versus Katrina versus Kristara versus Melanie. So it was, you know, like the women's division all coming together in one match. So that was a really fun one because we all got to be in it, and we got all, it was really us showing like how strong the division is. Mm-hmm. And so that one, I guess in recent memory, along with the Lufisto one, like I said, like it means a lot. And I know that my upcoming ones are just going to be like more of my favorites. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm trying to figure out my math. So a third through 2024, I mean, we're April, 4 months in. When you look at 2024, the rest of it, do you have any set goals, anything that you really want to be able to accomplish before the year wraps up?
I mean, I want to get more into intergender wrestling. Mm-hmm. That's something that like I don't get to do enough, and I feel like there's a whole other world there to be explored, in the sense of like I can learn working with different kinds of people. So I would love to do more intergender wrestling. I fought at the first WWS Women's Wrestling Syndicate, the Lufisto show, all women's show. I was the first match versus Lou O'Farrell. And that was an amazing experience. She is so out of this world talented. I would love to wrestle her again. There's a lot of names in Ontario that I really want to wrestle. So I would love, you know, like Vanna Black, Bia Moss, there's Silesia Sparks. There's names there that I've never gotten to wrestle. So there's women really in Ontario that I'm like, this needs to happen. Mm-hmm.
When I started this podcast predominantly focused on the West Coast, Manitoba, everything west of that. And I've been able to see just how incredible the, like the women wrestlers coming out of Alberta, BC, they are, and they've absolutely been crushing it. And then you see the East Coast and what you guys are doing in Quebec. I mean, you guys are step for step, right there with them for incredible matches, these talented wrestlers having like these magical moments in the ring, and seeing that, it's so great to see. I think the landscape of wrestling in Canada, I mean, it's in good hands when you look at what you guys have been able to do.
Thank you so much. I mean, that means a lot, you know, like I said, like have been at, especially at IWS, but even other shows that I have done in Quebec and other places, like everyone now is very intentional about making the women matter. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it shows and it pays off, like that means a lot.
Mm-hmm. Now, I like to ask for a match recommendation. So one that you are personally a fan of, and it could be WWF, it could be New Japan, anything. One you're a fan of that you think the listeners should go out and check out.
That's a good question. I really like Sasha Banks versus Becky Lynch. It was at an NXT takeover. I believe it was NXT Unstoppable.
Okay.
I really, really liked that match. You said one, so I have to stop there.
Hey, you, if you want to rattle off a couple, by all means, if you're going to name three or four, hell yeah.
I mean, I'm gonna name women's matches because yeah, that's what I'm here to promote. But I really liked Charlotte versus Asuka at WrestleMania. And WrestleMania weekend just happened, and Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley had a great match, mm-hmm. honestly. Like, me and my fiance were watching, and we were like, we think that was, like, the match of the night. Like, that was a really good one. Man, it was a fun weekend. So those three, I'd say.
Yeah, the WrestleMania weekend, it's really become, like, just an incredible thing. It doesn't matter what you're really a fan of, there's going to be something for you. If you're a yes. fan of intergender, death match, whatever it is, there's going to be something.
Yeah. There's like the comedy, there's like the toe-to-toe matches, there's, you know, like the long stories, like there really is something. And I really like the two-day WrestleMania thing a lot more because mm-hmm. it was getting a bit exhausting with like the full 7 hour one time with the pre-show and everything. It was so long, I remember. But yeah, the 2 day, we were like, oh, it's over already. Like,
it's kind of nice going to bed at a normal time. And
yeah. but it also, like, your mind is like, you're able to be more into it, you know, when yeah, it's split up like that.
You can enjoy it more. It doesn't seem like as much of a chore when it's yeah. split up, you know, because there's been years before where you try to watch it in one day along with all the other shows, and you have to take like a 3 week break from wrestling because it's just too much.
Yeah. Yeah. It's exhausting. I know what you mean. It's exhausting being a wrestling fan.
which is really something to say. you watching, you know, Mike Bailey go out there and have 13 matches in 4 days, but like we're the ones yeah. that are tired from watching it. Exactly. Social media, where can the people find you? And if you have upcoming shows that you would like to announce, by all means, here's a chance.
So on Twitter and Instagram, I am the_DaniLeo, DaniLeo. And that's Instagram and Twitter. Upcoming shows, I have Crossbody in Cambridge. It's Crossbody Pro Wrestling. That's on April 20th. And you can find more information about them. I'll be posting on my Twitter and Instagram. And then I have an all-women's show as well, a Femme Fatale, on April 27th. And again, there's going to be more info on my social media, so you guys can follow me there to keep up.
Perfect. Dani, thank you so much for joining me. I truly appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really fun.
Thank you so much to Dani, and thank you for checking out the podcast. I say it every time. I will always say it. I truly appreciate you taking time out of your day to listen to me talk about wrestling. If it's your first time listening, you can find me up on all social media, Grainmaker Wrestling Podcast, email grainmakerpodcast@gmail.com. You can find me every Saturday doing Four Exposure with my good friend Pluggo as we take a look at the world of independent wrestling. That's up on the Love Wrestling YouTube. And I've got a Twitch channel, just started it. It's twitch.whatever. It's GRNMKR. I'm just streaming matches up there. I will announce up on social media whatever I'm going to do it, but stop by and check it out. Thanks again for checking out the podcast. We'll talk soon.